Good morning. Merry Christmas to you. It's we're so glad to have you join us here this morning at First Church. You know, I love, we've been here a lot of Christmases. I love preaching at First Church at Christmas time. You know, I mean, it just, don't I just look better? Don't answer that. Okay. I mean, it always is. It's so beautiful in here. It is just such a joy to share. This makes you enjoy this time of year so much, being here at First Church, the beautiful decorations. Thanks to all the folks that helped with that. You know, it will just enhance the retelling of this beautiful Christmas story. Probably the most integral part of the Christmas story is the baby. You know, it's interesting to look at different art depicting this part of the Christmas story, the art of the baby Jesus laying in the manger. And when you look at these pieces of art and you see, you know, the stars and shining over Bethlehem, and you see the baby Jesus laying in the manger, and you see the look in Mary and Joseph's eyes as they gazed into the eyes of their Savior, and as they look down and see this beautiful baby that Mary has given birth to, knowing whom he is. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. And even times of contemporary art really depict this in beautiful ways. The shepherds there on the hillside outside Bethlehem sang of his birth. You know, the Magi, they traveled a long distance to give gifts to this newborn king. Even present day artwork, you know, like this one down on the bottom right here, of a child showing that even the animals were getting into the act of celebrating the coming of Jesus. You know, it brings me to this song that we're going to be thinking about today. What child is this? You know, you think about those words and you notice that question mark on the end of it. And those of you that are grandparents, the first time that you ever laid eyes on your new grandson or your new granddaughter, you probably had this same kind of thought. What child is this? That song was written by a man by the name of William Chatterton Dix. He wrote it in the year 1865 in England. And here's the interesting thing about this song, What Child Is This? And notice that it's a question. It's a question. You know, you don't sing too many questions. But just the understanding and realization of who this child is caused William Dix to write this song. Now, here's the interesting thing about the writing of this song. When he wrote it from his deathbed. He was 29 years old. He actually was not a hymn writer. He managed a maritime insurance company. Can you imagine that? 1865. You know, the original Geico, I guess. I don't know. But he wrote it from his deathbed. He became deathly ill with something, and I really couldn't find out all the details of that. But he thought he was going to die. Matter of fact, he was bedridden for several months. And during that time of laying on his deathbed, he said that he had a near-death experience, an almost-death experience, and he went into a very, very deep depression. But even through the fog of that depression, and even though he thought his death was near or even imminent, he wrote many hymns, including What Child Is This? Later, it was set traditional English tune, Greensleeves. We know that. But he wrote the words of this beautiful song, What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with voices sweet while shepherds watch their keeping. What a beautiful song it is, but it's a song that is a question. And I want us to ask that very same question that I think he was asking as he wrote the words of this song. You know, he was born to very wealthy parents. His dad was a surgeon. His mother was a writer. And right in the middle of this time in his life when things should be best and greatest and the most positive outlook on life, he was stricken with a terrible illness and he thought he was going to die. So at the age of 29, he picked up a pen and he wrote the words of this beautiful Christmas carol that we sing today. You know, I wonder, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if he was inspired by one phrase in Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. It says there, "So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby." That's the shepherds. As the angels led them in this song of jubilation of the birth of Jesus, it says that they hurried off that hill, that mountain, and they went and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They found the baby. That same word is depicted in Matthew chapter 2 in the Christmas story there, when it's telling the story of the Magi, the wise men, and how they came. And it says there in Matthew chapter 2, when they found Mary and the young child. You see, Christmas is an awful lot about finding, isn't it? You know, you get up on Christmas morning and you find, as Carl so aptly put it here, you find that gift that you've wanted so much. Or you actually go out and in your searching, you find that one gift that you really want to give. Isn't that amazing? Christmas is a lot about finding the gift that you want or finding the gift that you want to give. But William Chatterton Dix found something special when he realized who exactly this child was. I would like to invite you to join me this morning as we just think about and contemplate not only what the shepherds found on that first Christmas morning, not only what the wise men found when they journeyed and followed the star and found Mary and the baby, not only what Mr. Dix found when he wrote this beautiful, beautiful Christmas carol, what child is this? He found out what was special about this child. And I think that we could not do anything better than this Christmas than finding out what was special about this child. So what did they find? Well, let me share with you a few things. Number one, they found a Savior. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The prophets of old had foretold that there would be one that was going to be born, and he would be the blessed Messiah, that he would be the Savior. You know what I find interesting about that first Christmas when Jesus Christ was born? He was the Savior. But I find it interesting to think about that the people that welcomed him and those that even didn't welcome him, they didn't even realize how much they needed a Savior. You know, you had the religious elite who were keeping the law, who were being what they thought pleasing to God. They didn't realize how inadequate their faith was in the ability to save them. They needed a Savior even though they didn't need it. You got King Herod who welcomed the Magi, who welcomed the wise men, and he said, you know, when you find the baby, come and tell me so I can come and worship him too. Because he was so concerned about losing his authority, losing his kingdom, that this one born king of the Jews was going to take away his power, the thing that he wanted to hang on to the very most. Isn't it amazing how so many people didn't know they needed a Savior? But the lowly shepherds, they know they needed a Savior. The wise men who saw that star in the east, they realized they needed a Savior. And you and I need to realize that as well. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do you know that? Listen, folks, there's not a greater understanding, there's not a greater fact, there's not a greater nugget of truth about the Christmas story than the simple understanding that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You know, I wonder as this gentleman, William Dix, I wonder as he penned this beautiful song, I wonder if he thought about that. You know what? Because when you are facing death, it's really pretty unbelievable what you think about. I mean, your senses are honed in. The clutter on the peripheral of life is not as bright. And it is so easy to just focus down on the most important thing when you get to that point in life when you don't know if life is even going to continue. That's where he was. So he wrote the song, "What Child Is This?" And when you and I face this Christmas holiday every season and every year, and as we look at the decorations, as we look at the nativity, and as we see all these things, do we understand that when they came to that first Christmas, that's what they found? They found a Savior. You know what else they found? They found a friend. You know, it's amazing to me how many times the Bible uses the word friend. Jesus said at one point in his ministry that not very many people would die for a stranger, but that there are some people that would die for a friend. You know what the next line is? The next line is Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "You're my friends." And he knew where that friendship was leading. It was leading to his death. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Romans when he's talking about how at just the right time, Christ died for us. Even while we were unlovely, even while we were ungodly, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, just the understanding of what Jesus Christ did for us. But here's the thing, folks. He didn't do it because we were his friend. He did it because he wanted to be our friend. That's the very reason that Christmas is celebrated at all. It's because God, in all of his infinite wisdom, came down to this earth and took the form of a baby so that he could be our friend, so that he could have this wonderful relationship with us. You know, my daughters, Sarah and Kristen, they sent me a picture the other day. And it was a picture. Sarah had traveled to Lexington, 3 hours away, to go shopping with her sister. Kristen is an assistant manager of this clothing store in the mall, and you know, she got a bajillion percent off. And Sarah went up there to shop with her. And they sent me a picture of them shopping. And it was just a picture of them shopping, and they were trying on clothes. And it said something about, you know, price of a top this, price of a pair of pants this, price of a pair of shoes this, two sisters shopping together, priceless. And it was funny because I said to Arlene, I said, "Honey, do you realize that just a few short years ago, we didn't think that day would ever come?" You know, I mean, how many of you ever heard this? "I hate my sister." Okay? You know, we thought that they would be grown, they'd move away, and they would talk at Christmas and at our funeral one day, you know? And to see them that close, it is just a joy as a parent to see that. And listen, folks, you may feel like right now that you are so far away from God, that you do not feel his presence. You don't understand that he's there. But I want you to know, folks, Christmas, that first Christmas, they found a friend. The shepherds found a friend in Jesus. The magi found a friend in Jesus. The animals found a friend in Jesus. When Dix wrote this song about what child is this, he was coming to an understanding that what child is this? This child is my friend. It is God's way of coming to this earth and saying, "I want to be your friend." And the thing about it is, folks, he's a true friend. You ever heard the saying that if you want a friend, be a friend? If you want a friend, be a friend. You have a friend forever. And the thing about it is, folks, God is our friend. And true friends are there through thick and thin. No matter what happens, they will love us as a friend forever. That's what they found. You know what else they found? They found a guide. I think it's so fascinating to think about the coming of Christ and what Christ's birth meant. And what it meant was that not only was he a Savior, not only was he a friend for all those that came to him, but he was a guide back to God and back to this wonderful place of beauty and perfection called heaven. They found a guide. You remember that little song we used to sing when we were kids, you know, in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Thank you. You know, I was. Remember what they thought? Even think about that. Even back then, 1492, they thought that Columbus would actually sail off the earth, that the earth was flat and that he would sail off the earth. Did you know that way back then, the people that drew maps actually wrote in the margins of the maps this phrase, they would write, "Beyond here, there be dragons." In other words, they drew the map as far out as they knew. But when it went beyond what they knew, beyond here be dragons. Gonna fall off the earth and, you know, gonna disappear. But you see, folks, Jesus Christ, he was a guide. He was a guide saying, you know what? I came from heaven. I'm going back to heaven, and I'm gonna show you the way. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, when he died on that hill outside Jerusalem and was buried in that borrowed tomb, he said, listen, there is something beyond the grave, and he is the guide of saying that I will show you the way. Listen, folks, if you have a guide, it's a marvelous thing. But if you don't have one, it is a frightening thing. Several years ago, we were going down to visit our family. Went through Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. Ever drive through there? Little town down there. We drove into town, and they were having a parade, and the police stopped us, and they said the road's going to be closed for about 45 minutes. I said, come on, I want to go. I ain't got places to go. My mama's cooking me supper tonight. Okay? And we stopped, and he said, I'll tell you what, if you turn right here, and you go up over the mountain, and you take the first left after you get down on the other side of the mountain, and you come back out on this road, but it'll be about 15 miles down the highway. I said, all right, I turned right, I went over the mountain. I missed my turn. And I'm driving. I drive way out of the way. And finally, I realize that I'm really lost. I pulled over at this little bait shop on the side of a stream. And as I was getting out of my car, I was walking in to ask for directions. And there's somebody pulled in behind me. And the guy said, hey, can I ask you where you're going? The cop had told him, follow him. Okay? He was in the same shape, and the police said, hey, I don't have time to explain it to you. Just follow that car right there in front of you. You see, that's not the kind of guide Jesus was. Jesus had been in heaven with the Father, and he came to earth to be our friend, to be our Savior, and to show us our way through these dark and lonely paths that we walk down here. And you see, Jesus was going to be for us the same thing that the star was for the wise men. He was going to be the guide, and if we always follow that guide, we'll always get to where we want to be. You see, Christmas is a lot about finding. It's about finding the Savior. It's about finding a friend. It's about finding a guide. Let me show you a picture. You like this? Right here's one of these nice young ladies right on the front. She's the one with her head down. I've embarrassed her a little bit. Last week, these two young ladies, this is Caroline on my right and Lexi on my left there. And they came into church dressed like this. And I don't know if you can't really see it as well as I hoped you could. They're dressed identical. You know, it's what I love about teenagers. It's what I love about kids. You know, you grown women, if y'all came to church and had the same dress on, you'd run out the back door to go home and change. These two girls were like, nice dress. They even have the same boots on. I don't know if you can see that. Okay? And I said to them, I said, come on, I want my picture taken with you guys. And so they got up and somebody snapped this picture with my phone. Christmas is all about finding. It's about finding not only the Savior, but finding a friend and finding a guide and going on this journey together. This is an awesome thing. And listen, folks, when you think about how Christmas is a lot about finding, the question is have you found? Because so many of us, we go through year after year, Christmas after Christmas, holiday after holiday. You know, we look at the lights, we look at the tinsel, we look at the manger scenes, we go through all of this, and we just look beyond it and we don't see the very things that God wants us to see. It's right there. You know, we're kind of like me. Long ago, I was at the grocery store, and I was looking for some spice, and I'm looking at these. You know, there's like a billion spices in the grocery store, and I'm looking for this thing that Arlene sent me for, and I cannot find it. You know, I didn't know those things were actually in alphabetical order. Anyway, I'm looking. And finally, this lady comes by. I said, ma'am, could you show me where, I don't know, paprika cinnamon was or whatever it was? And she's like, yes, it's right here. She reached out, and she handed it to me, and she grinned. And she didn't say it with her lips, but she said it with her mind and with her eyes. Idiot. You know, I was like, it was right there. I was so embarrassed. It was like it was right there. How did I miss that? It's because I was looking at everything else. And that's what happens a lot of time at Christmas. We look at everything else. We're thinking about finding the right thing. We're thinking about getting the right thing. Think about finding the right thing under the tree or getting the right thing to put under the tree. We're so concerned about finding all these things that we don't find the most important thing. And the shepherds and the wise men and this beautiful gentleman that wrote from his deathbed the words of this beautiful song. It was about finding the right thing. And I say to you this Christmas, find the right thing. Have you ever noticed how nativity scenes are so simple? But a lot of times there are things in certain nativities that aren't in others, right? I mean, like every nativity doesn't have the wise men. You know, some people, I had a lady one time said, I have five wise men because we really don't know how many there were, so I wanted five. Okay. You know, some people have animals, you know, and Tyrannosaurus Rex. Others have shepherds and animals and camels. I even saw one nativity that had the innkeeper peeking through the window to see what was going on. But there's always three things that are in every nativity. You know what they are? Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Now some of you say, no, there's always a star. No, not always a star. But there's always Mary and Joseph, and there's Jesus. I think the reason that they're always there is because there's got to be somebody there that's looking down and understanding who this child is. The Bible says that Mary took the baby in her arms, and she pondered in her heart the meaning of this child's birth. This Christmas season, may we ponder in our heart the reason for this child's birth, and that we understand that we need to find the same things that people have always found: a Savior, a friend, a guide, and then knowing that when we find all of those things, that Christmas will not only be beautiful, but it'll be grand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the beauty of this day, the beauty of this worship area, Lord, this morning. God, may every twinkle of every light, may every ornament, Lord, may every decoration proclaim the glory of this child's birth. And Father, we just pray that this Christmas would be like every Christmas. It would be about finding. But that, Lord, it wouldn't be about finding the right present under our tree. It wouldn't even be about finding the right present to place under our tree. But it'd be about finding the same thing, Lord, that the shepherds found. The same thing, Lord, that the wise men found. The same thing, Lord, that William Dix found laying on his deathbed, contemplating, Lord, the marvelous question of what child is this? And Lord, may we be able to answer affirmatively that this child, that in this child we found a Savior, we found a friend, we found a guide, Lord, who'll walk with us every step of the way. And Father, may we understand and know that when your word tells us that he will be with us, that he will be our guide until the end of the age, that, Lord, it's talking about not just about to the end of our life, but to the end of the age, even after our life is over, that he'll still walk with us, even through the unknown, even through the darkness of the shadow of death, Lord, that he will walk with us every step of the way, that that's why Jesus came, so that we would know that we don't have to walk that path alone. Lord, may every person here today find those things as they sing this song, "What Child Is This?" In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.